Welcome, and thank you for joining us for today's Dealer On webinar, How to Innovate Before It's Too Late. My name is Eliana Raggio, and I'll be your moderator today. And today's webinar is being presented by Dealer On. For anyone who isn't familiar with Dealer On, we're an award-winning website development company and digital agency, best known for our amazing SEO, the best customer service, and the highest converting website designs in the industry, including the award-winning Chameleon responsive website platform. We're so committed to lead conversion, optimization, and customer service, Dealer On is still the only company in the industry to offer a money-back lead guarantee program. Does your website company guarantee you a 50% lift in leads or your money back? Probably not. So maybe you should check us out at our gorgeous brand new Dealer On website at DealerOn.com. And we have an incredible show for you today. We're very pleased to have the one and only Christy Roman as our presenter today. Christy Roman, also known as the Queen of Auto, is the president of Now Digital, a one-stop shop for dealers and local businesses that want to maximize their internet advertising. An entrepreneur with a background in advertising sales, management, and a few online startups, Christy Roman has a unique perspective on advertising as it pertains to automotive and the internet. She's made her mark on the industry by developing and monetizing the partnership program, now the premium program, Dealer Initiative at Autotrader.com, which turned them into a classified advertising powerhouse and now generates hundreds of millions of dollars each year. Past roles also include an ad agency owner and business development, sales and management for newspaper and cable advertising, piloting the one-time AOL Time Warner multimedia cross-selling initiative, regional sales manager for Who's Calling, and consulting for television stations to help them develop online revenue streams. Christy is also the chairman of the board for Women in Automotive, whose mission is to assist the automotive community in recruiting, retaining, and developing female employees and leaders, and to educate and inspire women in all areas of the automotive industry. She can be reached at Christy@NowDigital.com. And by the way, Christy's going to be at the upcoming Women in Automotive Conference. This amazing event is December 10th and the 11th in beautiful Palm Springs, California. It's going to be focused on, like we said, training and retaining women in our industry to improve their skills, advance their careers, and find the highest levels of success. So if you want to make your way to Palm Springs in a couple of months, well, shoot, we'd love to see you. I'll be there too. I'm the MC for this fine event. And to find out more about the Women in Automotive Conference, please visit womeninautomotive.com. We hope to see you there. Now, during the presentation, if you have any questions, please use the question feature located on the corner of your screen to submit them. At the end of the presentation, we'll answer those questions of general interest. If we're unable to get to your question live, we're going to try to respond by email later today. Don't forget, a link to download a copy of this webinar recording will also be emailed to you later today for your reference, and feel free to share it with your friends and colleagues. And guess what? Our good friends over at Now Digital, they're giving away a tremendous prize on today's webinar. Not one, but two of you lucky webinar attendees are going to win a free ticket to the upcoming Women in Automotive Conference, December 10th and 11th in Palm Springs, California. This is a tremendous prize for you, and quite frankly, I'm not going to lie here, it is the best darn conference you will ever attend. Ask anyone who's been to one. You have to be on the live broadcast to win it, though, so stay tuned for your chance to win this sweet prize. Also, at the conclusion of this webinar, you're going to get a short survey, so fill it out. We're always looking for quality feedback from our audience. We want your opinion to be heard. And hey, do you tweet much? Gosh, we hope you do. We'd love to see what you have to say about today's presentation, so please tag us in it. You can use #DealerOnWebby. I'm at Eliana Raggio. You can also hit up Christy Roman at Queen of Auto. We look forward to seeing what you're saying. All right, everyone, let's get started. Let's learn about how to innovate before it's too late. Christy Roman, it's about darn time you came on my show, lady. We've known each other for years. Thank you so much for coming and doing this today with me.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I know it's been a while, and you've asked me before, but so I'm ready. I'm ready to give it my the old 1-2 try.
And I got to tell you, when you told me, when I asked you, hey, what do you think dealers need to know about? And you said, you know what? They're really going to shoot themselves in the foot if they don't start innovating, and it is going to be the kiss of death for anyone who doesn't start doing that. And I said, you know what? We have never talked about that on my show, and I'm so glad you're bringing it to us today. And I know you have a lot to get to, so let's do it. Why don't you tell the audience the kinds of things they're going to be learning about today?
So the first piece of this is going to be just creating perspective on where we are as an industry by taking a little tour through history. We're going to look at the disruptions that are coming into our marketplace. Some of them are already here. And we're going to talk about innovation and trends so that you can start thinking about the future. We don't know, nobody knows exactly what's going to happen, but for sure things are going to change. And it's up to dealers to try to innovate and figure out how we move forward. So with that, I want to start with the Industrial Revolution, because all these different trends I'm going to talk about have had a huge impact on our world and the life that we live. Starting in 1760, this is when there were mechanisms that were built to make clothes, and we had factories started, transportation was advanced with the invention of the steam engine and the locomotive, communications advanced with the telegraph, banking and finance, you had the creation of the stock exchange, the monetary reserve policies, and the beginning of what came to be mass marketing. Then you go to the invention of the car, which dates back actually to the late 1700s, but the first gasoline engine is widely credited to have been made in 1865 by Carl Benz. And when you see, we went from 2,500 cars produced in 1899 in the United States to 485,000 by 1913. And the first Model T sold for $825, but by 1927, with mass production in force, the price was lowered to $290 for a Model T coupe. Move to the airplane. The invention of the airplane, the Wright brothers had a monopoly because they had the only viable airplane ever. But they lost because everyone else innovated. They did not make good business decisions, and they did not manage to profit from what turns out to be a historical event. On to the computer, which was actually invented during World War II. As probably most of you know, they were huge at the time, and it was 1975 when Bill Gates and some friends of his created the personal computer, which has really changed everything faster than anything in my lifetime. Thousands of companies came into the fray, Zenith, Compaq. You had the invention of the cell phone. Remember BlackBerries. There are a few major competitors who survived, but we all know who they are. So let's talk about the dot-com revolution. Between 1997 and 2001, there was an explosion of IPOs. At the time of the height of the bubble, there was absolutely no revenue necessary to get to go public, to get money. You just had to have something that someone thought was a good idea. Many dot-com concepts became public with absolutely no viable business model, and we'll talk about a few of them. And in the months of March and April 2000, just to give you an idea of how much of a bubble it was, over $1 trillion was lost in the stock market when the bubble finally collapsed.
Wow. That's actually...
We have our first poll question, Eliana.
Yes, we do. Thank you so much, Chrissy. Okay, first poll question is on the screen now. Audience, we'd love it if you take part in our poll question. It really helps us out, and it lets us know what is going on in what you're thinking. Okay, so we want to know, what do you think the numbers 3,000 to 4,000 represents? Please select one of the following answers. So put that number in your head, 3,000 to 4,000. Do you think it's the number of airplane manufacturers since the invention of the airplane? Do you think it's the number of manufacturer entities since the Industrial Revolution? Do you think it's the estimated number of car brands worldwide since its invention? Do you think it's the largest point loss in one day on the Dow Jones ever? Or do you think it's the amount of money that Chrissy has spent on iPhones in the last 5 years? They are expensive, aren't they? Okay, so what do you think the numbers 3,000 to 4,000 represents? I know. It's a quiz. We want to know what you think. All right, so once we get a majority of the votes in, we're going to close this poll and share the results. And, of course, I want to encourage all of you. Today is going to be kind of like a history lesson, wouldn't you say, Chrissy?
Yes, it's building perspective.
Yes. So we're going to go over some of the things that have happened in the past so that we can prevent them from being doomed to repeat themselves in the future. All right? So if you have questions for the Queen of Auto, send them in. We're looking forward to a nice, robust Q&A session, all right? Okay, votes are coming in nice and fast. Audience, you guys rock today. Thank you so much. Chrissy, if you're ready, because we have almost everyone voting, I would love to close this poll and share the results.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, let's do this. All right, everyone, let's see what we have. All right, so what do you think the numbers 3,000 to 4,000 represents? Well, only 3% of today's audience thought that it was the number of airplane manufacturers since the invention of the airplane. 30% of today's audience believe it's the number of manufacturing entities since the Industrial Revolution. Only 42%. What? What do you mean only 40? No, that is the majority, 42%, so nearly half of people said that they think it's the estimated number of car brands worldwide since the invention of the car. Only 12% think it's the largest point loss in one day of the Dow Jones ever. And another 12% believe it's the amount of money that they've spent on iPhones in the last 5 years. Get ready to shell out another $1,000, people. All right, so, Christy, is there a right answer to this? What does the numbers 3,000 to 4,000 actually represent?
It's the estimated number of car brands that have been in one way or another in inception since the invention of the car worldwide.
We have had nearly 4,000 car brands since the invention of the car?
Yes, that's correct. And 1,800 airplane manufacturers.
Jeez Louise, we've got some competition out there. Okay. All right, so where do we go from here?
We go to the next slide. Okay, so now we're going to talk some specifics because in the title of the presentation I talked about four examples. And the purpose of this is not necessarily 100% related to automotive. It's really just trying to look at trends and how quickly things can change and that we have to be on the lookout. We can't just assume everything is going to be like it is. So we'll start with Kodak. Kodak in 1976 made 90% of film and 85% of all camera purchases. They were made by consumers through Kodak. They built the first digital camera, and they went from a revenue of $16 billion in 1996 to $16 million in 2016. And they used to be at the top of their game.
Wow.
They were ahead of the curve in a lot of the technology, but even though they invented one of the first digital cameras, they lost out. MySpace, this is one of my favorite ones. From 2005 to 2008, it was the largest social networking site in the world.
I had a MySpace page. You had a MySpace page, right?
Yeah. It surpassed Google in 2006 as the most visited website in the United States. And even with investments by Justin Timberlake and a buyout by Time Incorporated, they are basically nowhere to be found. Toys R Us, this one's actually very recent. They started in 1923. They were an original category killer, and that's basically where there was no competition that could touch them at one point. When they started e-commerce, they could not fulfill it themselves, so they decided to use Amazon to do it for them and even sued Amazon for a breach of contract and won $51 million, but still fell behind Walmart in toy sales beginning in 1998, haven't made any money since 1998, and they just declared bankruptcy. Now they're going to start their own e-commerce platform, which is something they should have done well before today. Blockbuster. This one to me is most like automotive in terms of location. But in 2004, they were at their peak. They had over 84,000 employees and 9,000 stores. They had the chance to buy Netflix in 2000, but they did not think people would replace going into stores with ordering things online. They were a $5 billion company at that point, and in 6 years, they were bankrupt, completely gone. So what does any of that have to do with automotive? So here are some fundamental questions I think we need to be asking ourselves. And the first one, the biggest one, is the franchise model obsolete? How much more quickly can companies like Amazon and Google turn this model upside down? With customer satisfaction in purchasing a car at all-time lows, how long do current protections remain in effect? And why do consumers need to pay a premium to have a miserable shopping experience? So these are the questions I really want when you come out of this to be thinking about, and how can we address them as an industry so that we all have jobs? All right, Eliana, our second poll question.
All right, here we go. Second poll question is on the screen now. All right, audience, we want to know what you think about this question. Approximately how many car manufacturers worldwide are in existence today? Now, you heard before, there was like 3,000 to 4,000. So how many do you think are in existence today? And as you can see, none of them are in the thousands. So let's take our best guess, all right? Please select one of the following answers. Do you think it's about 120, about 240, as little as 50, as many as 600, or do you think it's around 310? Once we get a majority of the votes in, we're going to close this poll and share the results. I know. Look, if you people are trying to Google it, don't even bother. You're not allowed to Google it, all right? You have to just guess. We want to know how many car manufacturers worldwide do you believe are in existence today? It's taking you a long time to get your votes in. Okay. Okay, now the votes are coming in now. All right. Okay, so by the way, Christy, Devon, hi Devon, how are you? He writes in, this is brilliant, questioning the franchise model as obsolete. Well, I don't know if we're doing that, but we will get into that, won't we, Christy?
Yes, something to think about.
Something to think about. All right. All right, audience, you guys have done very well with this question. Thank you so much for answering it. We're going to close this poll now and share the results. Christy, I hope you're ready with an answer for us because I'm dying to know what the answer to this is. So approximately how many car manufacturers worldwide are in existence today? Well, the majority, almost the majority, a quarter of today's audience, 24% of today's audience believe it's about 120. 14% of today's audience think it's about 240. 22% of today's audience think it's as little as 50. 14% of today's audience believe it's 600. And then the majority of people, 27% of today's audience, believe it is 310. So, Christy, what's the right answer? How many car manufacturers are in existence worldwide today?
As of 2016, approximately 50.
50?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So we went from 3,000 to 4,000 manufacturers since the inception of the car, and now only 50 are in existence today. Very interesting. Thank you so much. All right, let's close this poll, and let's get back to your deck, Christy.
So let's talk about the franchise model and why it was created. I mean, fundamentally, it was created to be a distribution model for new cars. The ideal were to stop automakers from selling directly to consumers, which protect franchisees, and also to provide a knowledgeable sales process to guide people through the sales and service process. What are the benefits? There's obvious benefits to the franchise model, although I don't know that we do a good enough job in the industry of making these things known, but the biggest thing to me is dealers are a part of the community and they employ many people. Oftentimes they're one of the larger employers in a town. They provide a local venue so that you have a place to go service your car and to test drive and have a sales process in person, brick and mortar, so to speak. And they're major, major contributors in the community with charities and all the kinds of things that happen around having a major business in a city or a town. But there's some negatives, and this is the part that I think is really the crux of this presentation, is consumers do not like buying cars. Like 5% of people approve of Congress, and buying a car is right under that. Like 4.5% of people like buying a car. And to me, when you look at all these questions, this is the problem that needs to be addressed going forward. Part of it is many managers are great salespeople who got promoted, but they don't necessarily know how to develop people, how to train people, how to keep people. And it's also extremely sales-focused. It's not consumer-focused. So we all know there's industry disruptors that are happening and that have been happening. Tesla just posted a $227 million loss this quarter.
Did they?
But I think people can remember back to Ford Direct's failed attempt to sell direct to consumers and acquire dealerships. But you have Carvana out there selling direct to consumers with their used car model. I think the bigger and much more, I don't know what you would call it, but I guess disruptors would be Amazon and Google. They're the scariest to me because Amazon, unlike Google, Amazon doesn't really have a dog in the car dealer fight. They aren't making money off of advertising the way that Google does, and they have a lot of firepower. So if there's a company that could figure out how to sell cars directly to consumers, even if it involves getting the car at the dealership. If they can figure out how, you know, one of the big things is how to analyze trades or how to do financing. If they can figure out how to do those things online, that is going to change the face of the industry faster than anything that's happened so far. Then you have ride sharing, you have subscription-based buying, which really is like a, it's like a lease, but I guess if you pay a subscription, it's better, I don't know. But, and of course you have self-driving cars, which Google's very much into. So this is a slide that shows how people adopt to industry disruptions. So you have the innovators over in the left-hand side, which is going to be the people like, you know, the crazy people who are the first ones to go online and try to buy anything. These are the people that were the first to embrace Netflix before Netflix was cool. And then you have early adopters. Those are the people who see the innovations and think, okay, well, this is kind of cool. And then you can see it turns into a bell curve where the majority gets on board. You have laggards for sure, but that's how, this is how disruptions take hold. And so while I hear people talk about people aren't going to buy cars online, we'll never get rid of the franchise model, I do think we have to be aware of the fact that if there's a company that can figure out how to go around franchise dealers, there's plenty of people who are willing to take the risk to do so. Some of the other challenges, new cars are a commodity, so it's very difficult for dealers to differentiate their products. I mean, that's why ad agencies are in existence, and that's why you have Y-Buy to try to tell someone why is it better to buy from you than it is from the other guy. The margins, as you know, continue to get squeezed, both on the new and the used car side. So other profit centers must make up the difference. So where we are today, obviously the franchise law protects the industry as we know it. But even with that said, consumers do not like the process. And if you look at all the trends historically, starting with the Industrial Revolution, and you think about the fact that very little manufacturing happens in our country anymore, It's been relegated to places like China. It's not unheard of to see a trend that could take hold and change the entire auto business as we know it. Salespeople are not well trained, and consumers know more than the salespeople do often when they walk through the door. Again, I can't stress this enough. The sales process is not customer focused. It's sales focused. It's I gotta hit this number. It's a 30-day month and it starts on the first. And there's little benefit to the consumer in buying a car at a dealership other than they have to go there to test drive the car and they need service if it's warranted in particular. They need a place to take the car. So that piece, the brick and mortar piece of being able to test drive a car and service a car, that's not going to go away. The question is, who's going to run those operations? I like this one because it just shows how sometimes we're so busy doing what we think is the thing to do that we miss obvious opportunities to innovate. This is a saying that I think is really appropriate. We need to stop acting as if there's a recipe for business, like it's a cake or a casserole, and start thinking in terms of how factors are connected. In our case, it's the network of consumers that make up our brands and industries.
I don't know. I think you should have left that one up there a little longer.
All right. This is courtesy of Aliana. She thought that was a fun one.
I didn't draw it, though, so send all your comments directly to Christy at Christy@nowdigital.com. All right, go ahead.
Thanks. All right, so let's talk about some realities. Some of these are just me, you know, hypothesizing. I can't read the tea leaves, but I can say the changes are happening, and they're likely to happen faster than they have in the last 5-10 years. But the reality is dealers, I believe, must adapt and become more consumer friendly. And when you look at Blockbuster and how fast they went out of business, when you look at, I mean, we didn't talk about BlackBerry, but everybody had one that I knew that was in business, and they don't even really exist anymore. When you look at Toys R Us that had, that banked on people going to the local locations, and that's why they chose Amazon to fulfill their e-commerce, these are really, really big trends that happened quicker than anybody thought they would. And they stuck their heads in the sand. They said, this isn't going to happen. I believe pricing will become more transparent. Yes, people still like to haggle, but as the generations grow up, I don't believe that's going to be the case. I think it's going to go to more of a one-price model where you're going to have the opportunity to make money on the trade and finance, but not necessarily on the price of the car. I hear this a lot from dealers who say it's the consumer's fault. The consumers are a pain in the ass, so to speak. But I tend to think of it more that dealers kind of created the current consumer climate. They created the opportunity for companies like TrueCar to come and sort of exploit the fact that the buying process isn't that fun. So even as frustrating as it can be, we have to understand it's the bed that we made, and we have to deal with that. Customer service and satisfaction absolutely must be the focus. This is one of my favorite quotes. I love Zig Ziglar, and he always said, you can get everything in life you want if you help other people get what they want. I truly believe if there's a customer service focus, the money will follow. It might be scary at first, and it might mean upheaval of traditional ways of doing business, but it doesn't mean that it's not going to work. Thinking outside the box, this is really the key to the future, in my opinion. I think you have to look at other profit centers, obviously used as a major profit center, but focusing on service and parts, selling accessories, insurance. One of the things that I think will be unique and you can start looking into now is what kinds of apps and services can you sell in the process of selling a car? I mean, imagine if I could sell you a home alarm system, or if I could sell you some kind of an app, or I could sell you a home phone, or I could sell you any kind of number of things. There's tons of apps out there that you could resell, and then you would be getting residual income every month as a result of selling those apps. So I would encourage you to look at different things that you might sell, even if it has nothing to do with the purchase of a car. What kinds of things are out there that are good products that you could resell customers and get a monthly check, even if it's only a couple dollars? As you get thousands of customers over time, that really can add up. And then reshaping the value proposition of buying at a dealership. You know, what is the value proposition now for buying at a dealership from the consumer's mind, and trying to address that so that you can fix some of the pain points. So here are some action items. Innovation, trying things that have never been done before. You know, there's Tom White up at Subaru of Wichita that has a super fun showroom. There's not cars in it. There's couches and TVs and games. It's a completely different environment than walking into a showroom with cars. What about internship programs? Who is going to replace the salespeople of today? What if you started an internship program at your local college and brought people in and you took personality assessments to see where they would best fit into your dealership and educated them on all the different profit centers? They get a college credit, you pay them $8 an hour. There's all kinds of things that could be done with that so that you have a bench coming into the dealership. It's getting harder and harder to hire good employees. 4-day work week. This is something that actually AutoNation is experimenting with, trying to figure out, hey, what if we do 4-day work weeks and people get 3 days off? How does that work maybe in the service drive? Addressing pain points, time in the store. This is a big one. There are different apps out there, Driven or Drive Motors and Fastlane are two of them, which allow you to complete a lot of the process online. And you know what? Maybe people aren't ready to buy online, but if I came into a store and you had something like Fastlane on a computer where I could start the paperwork, we could negotiate, come up with a price, and then I could go home and finish it, and then you bring the car to me when it's all done. I mean, there's things that can be done to incorporate and take away some of the pain points. I think the Apple Store is a great example, even though I've heard that they've had complaints about customer service. The ease of which it is to go into an Apple Store, there's no pressure. They're just there to help you. It's a seamless transition. It's a seamless experience. So how can you make the sales process more pleasant for consumers? And then that third one, researching alternative profit centers. It doesn't have to be a car-related It doesn't have to be a car-related purchase. There are lots of apps out there that you could look at that would give you residual income that you could sell maybe in the finance office as a result of a car purchase. So that's the end of my presentation. There's some resources for you. Good to Great by Jim Collins is one of my favorite books on how some companies can become great and others don't. Forbes, McKinsey, History.com, Automotive News. But really, it's going to be your own ability to innovate and experiment that's going to make the difference. There you go, Eliana.
Thank you so much, Chrissy. You kind of make me want to go pull my hair out right now, because that was a lot of stuff that really worries me. I mean, I think if we're not worried about the future of our own industry, especially right now, especially with all of those outside factors that are trying to make their way in and sell cars in a way that we're not used to, then we're just not, we're not prepared. And I hope we can get prepared. So thank you so much. Eye opener, kind of scary, but I appreciate it, Christine. No, stay right there on the big yellow question mark. All right, audience, I want to tell you that you can download Christie's slide deck by going to the handouts section of the GoToWebinar interface. So look on your GoToWebinar interface and look for the word that says handouts. It's probably pretty low on the interface, and there's a cute little triangle to the left of it. So click on that triangle and it'll open up, and in there you'll be able to find that handout for you. You can download it until the end of this broadcast. All right. And yes, we're looking for your questions. We want to know, do you have questions about do you want to start a discussion point about the future, about what dealerships should be doing, what we could be doing? Send those questions in. We're going to get to them in just a moment. Before we do that, though, we got some fun stuff to take care of. That's right. If you were here at the beginning of the webinar, then you heard me announce that our good friends over at Now Digital are giving away a tremendous prize on today's webinar. Two lucky webinar attendees are going to win a free ticket to the upcoming Women in Automotive Conference. It's December 10th and the 11th, and it's in beautiful Palm Springs, California. Each of these tickets is worth $495. I can't wait. I'm actually going to be the MC there. So I have had the pleasure and honor of MCing the Women in Automotive Conference. This will be my fourth one. And I got to tell you, it's not like any other conference you've ever been to. It is really amazing. And Christy, can you turn on your webcam and come on with me for a few minutes? Let's do that. Yeah, turn on your webcam so people can see how cute you are. And Hi, Christy. I just wanted to take a minute before we give away these prizes. I just want to take a minute because I think a lot of people still don't know about the Women in Automotive Conference. Just so you know, I think it's kind of a misnomer. Yes, we call it the Women in Automotive Conference, but the men that have come to the conference, and you can ask any of them that have been there, Brent Weiss, for instance, if you're in Canada and you know him, the fellows from Next Up, Bill Wittenmeyer from E-Lead One. There's so many men that have come. Joe Webb, if you know any of these men who have gone to the Women in Automotive Conference, they'll tell you the same thing. It's the best darn conference out there, and it's not like any other conference you've ever been to. And quite honestly, I tell people, do you have women who work for you? Are there women employees at your dealership? Do you sell to women? Then you should be at the Women in Automotive Conference. And that's just as plain as I can make it. I mean, yes, if you're a woman in automotive, yes, you should be there too. But there's things that are discussed at the Women in Automotive Conference that are not discussed at any other conferences. So certainly if you have females at your dealership and you want them to find the highest levels of success, you should encourage them to come. And you should probably win them this ticket or come yourself and see what all the hubbub is about. All right? So, Christy, anything you want to say about the Women in Automotive Conference before we give away these awesome tickets?
Yes, I mean, so think of this quote. Actually, we were at Driving Sales, and Katie Walda, who's the director of training at AutoNation, I can't even remember. Oh, it was Richard Branson who said it, and it basically says, train people so that they can leave, but then treat them in a way so that they don't. And so when we look at what we're trying to do with Women in Automotive, it's kind of our grassroots effort to help dealers figure out how to more closely match the demographics of the people coming into their showrooms, but also how to change the culture so that you can find good people and you can keep them. Anybody who has a millennial, I have two of them, knows that these are not people who are going to work 6 days a week. They're not particularly motivated by money. I'm not sure what they're motivated by. Trophies, I don't know. But anyway, so there's a real shift, not just in what's happening industry-wide with Google and Amazon, but also the kinds of people that are coming to work in these dealerships. It's not going to be the same as it was. So experimenting with comp plans, people come to this conference and we have leadership skills. We talk about personal development. We talk about strategies for how to market to women. We talk about how to retain women once you have them as employees. And it's not gender specific. Even though it is called Women in Automotive, there really is something for everyone. And I feel like if dealers, you know, miss an opportunity to get their women to this, to help them develop their skill set, I mean, it's only a benefit to you when you have women come back who are inspired and empowered. It's not an easy industry to work in, as a woman, whether you're a vendor or at a dealership. So to be able to send them to a place that helps get them re-energized and keep them focused on the fact that it's a great industry to be in, that's really kind of what it's all about.
Agreed. Thank you so much for saying all that. I tried to say it, but you said it better. All right. So, by the way, I want to let you know these tickets, we're going to give away two tickets to one. We're going to give away one ticket to two different people. Right? Is that right? Did I say that right?
Right. Got it.
All right. So you have two chances to win a free ticket. We are asking that if you are a vendor, please sit this one out. We are really trying to encourage people from dealerships to come to this conference. So we love having you on the Dealer On webinars. You know we do, but we're going to ask you to kindly sit this out so we can award these tickets to somebody who, by the way, also has to make it to Palm Springs, December 10th and the 11th. Not a bad time of the year to go to Palm Springs, my people. So don't even bother answering the question if you can't, if you cannot make it. Come, answer the question, and then come to Palm Springs. All right, everyone? Here we go. Good luck. We're looking forward to seeing who's going to be winning this, who I'm going to get to see in December in Palm Springs. All right, the answer is not 50. People were writing in that answer already. All right, here we go.
Yeah.
Okay, good luck, everyone. What year did Blockbuster go belly up? What year did Blockbuster go belly up? Nicole Simcox. Woo-woo! 2010. That is correct. Nicole, let me write down your name. Nicole Simcox. Congratulations. We are going to see you in Palm Springs. She's so excited. Thank you so much. We're going to see you in Palm Springs December 10th to the 11th. It's awesome. Listen, when you get there, I need you to come find me so I can say hi to you in person, take a picture with you and all that stuff because we're very, very excited that you're going to be there. Okay, Nicole? So, Nicole, you're already a winner. Congratulations. You're going to be hearing from our good friends over at the Women in Automotive. They're going to be sending you that ticket. All you have to do is get a plane and get a hotel and meet us there. All right, we'll see you there. All right, we got one more ticket to give away, one more chance for you to win. Here we go, everyone. Good luck. What website surpassed Google in 2006 as the most visited website on the web? First person to write in is correct. Daniela Volkovitz had the correct answer of MySpace. Congratulations, Daniela Volkovitz. Oh, my gosh, that's it. It's official. Your names have been written down, and we are going to see both of you at the Women in Automotive Conference in Palm Springs. We're so excited. Once you come once, you're never not going to want to come because we have them twice a year, so the other one will be usually in Orlando or so. And, yes, it is a party. Now, Nicole and Daniela, if you wouldn't mind, could you let me know what dealerships you're from? We'd very much like to know that. Both of you, make sure you say hi to both Christy and I when you get there to Palm Springs. We're looking forward to seeing you. Now, for everyone else, it's okay. I know. You want to come to the Women in Automotive Conference too, right? It's all right. All you have to do is go to womeninautomotive.com to get your tickets as well. Now, everyone else, I know, we only gave away two really cool prizes today, and your name wasn't Nicole Simcox or Daniela Volkovitz. You know what? It's okay. We give away cool prizes every week, so come on back to another Dealer On webinar, and that might be the day that you win a cool prize on a Dealer On webinar. For right now, we're going to say congratulations to Nicole Simcox from New Holland Auto Group, Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. There you go. And Daniela Volkovitz is with Ride Now Motorsports. I love it. Oh, you definitely have to come, both of you. All right, thank you so much. And, of course, we got to thank our good friends over at Now Digital for their incredible generosity. So thank you so much, Christy. Excellent, excellent giveaway. All right, we're going to get to some questions now. Christy, have you had a drink of water? Are you ready to go? You ready to get some of these questions from our audience? She said water, but I'm not so sure. All right, here we go. Okay, so the first thing I wanted to bring to your attention was this comment from Dan. He says, the franchise model is like the levees in Louisiana. It's the only thing holding back the direct-to-consumer flood. I'm not looking forward to Katrina, but unfortunately, it's a crisis that's coming to the dealer franchise model, and we just don't know when. So, Dan, stay right there, because I also want to get to this comment from Devon. He says, I skipped ahead. Christy Roman is the queen of auto. She tells the truth. And Dan went on to say, Facebook is a sleeping giant in the car sales world. But then Darren wrote in and said, where do you see the future of the franchise model heading? So, Christy, and I know this is really the crux of the situation, but just so you know, my sister just went to a car dealership this weekend to look at a car. She shopped online. She thought she knew what she was doing. She went into the car dealership. She practically left there crying. She hated it. And last year, I went with a girlfriend of mine to a car dealer. She had already test driven the car someplace else. She went online. She found the car she liked. She liked the price. We walked in there, and I said, great, this will be fine. It's in the summertime. We'll be out of here in 2-3 hours, no problem. We'll be on the beach by this afternoon. No, we were in there for 6 hours, and it just left a bitter taste in her mouth. So tell me, what do you think? Where are we headed with this franchise model, and what should we be looking out for?
Well, I think the consolidation of the dealerships is kind of going to put the small guys really at a big disadvantage faster than like an AutoNation is going to face. My personal opinion is it's going to go to a one-price structure where dealers will still be able to take care of service and still analyze trades, but really it's going to be more transactional in nature. It's possible the franchise model could go away, although it would be really difficult to make that feasible because people still need to service their cars. I don't think it's going to be like it is. I don't think dealers are going to have the opportunity to make as much money on the new car side as they have in the past. And that's why coming up with alternative revenue streams. And really, I cannot stress, I talk to people in our industry every day who try to buy a car. And they all say the same thing. It's antiquated. It's not focused on the consumer. And even if you know what you're doing, you still don't get treated well. So I think that's a really important thing to think about. How can you make a sales process that people like? Because no matter what direction it goes, that is really going to be the telltale sign. Because if people still continue to hate the process and those early adopters start buying cars online and Amazon figures out how to analyze a trade without having the car at the dealership, give or take, then they may never need to come into a dealership. They'll do home test drives. That's just the reality of, I think, where we're headed. So innovation absolutely is key. Maybe you don't have salespeople. Maybe that's an antiquated model in itself. But for sure, listening to consumers, doing focus groups, talking to people, trying to figure out what you can do to take away some of those pain points is absolutely critical to the future of the franchise industry. No laws, I don't think, no matter how much money is behind them, can protect an industry if they do not ultimately serve the consumer.
Very interesting. Okay, so follow-up came in from Dan, and he says, Apple, Amazon, or Google could all just buy an OEM. They have more cash than some countries. That gives them a dealer network and would let them sell new. Okay, Dan, you got me on that one. Do you think that they're going to be buying OEMs? They certainly could. I don't know if they'd run it any better than whoever's running them now.
Well, if you look at Hyundai, Hyundai has partnered with Amazon, and it's integrated on Hyundai's website. And basically, in order to get an Amazon lead, you have to have a 3-day return policy. To me, the 3-day return policy is sort of like if you deliver the car off the lot. So it's like they're already preparing dealers for the fact that at some point they're going to be delivering the car to the customer, because it's a mandatory law to have a 3-day right of rescission in a lot of states, Iowa not being one of them. So just looking at it, and then you have Google partnering with Walmart. So as these partnerships take shape, I think even if they were to buy an OEM, it's more about it's really about customer connection. We were talking, Eliana, about the fact this is a very reactive industry.
It is.
It does not tend to be ahead of the curve, and that's really the danger. And that was really the point of this. I'm not trying to be alarmist, but that's what the history lesson is for. If you look at trends and you look at how fast things can change, we can live in our little bubble, but what's plan B? What happens when everything changes? What are we going to do when we don't have any old salespeople who've been doing it and don't care about 6-day work weeks? We have to start thinking about all of these things, because ultimately it really does speak to the viability of the whole system.
You know, I remember when Tesla, I live in New Jersey, no big secret there, right? So I remember when Tesla tried to open up, and sell in New Jersey, they basically ran Tesla out of here saying, get out of here, unless you have a dealership franchise model, we don't want your kind in here. But I'm wondering how long will it take before maybe, the consumer says, no, this is what we want, and put people in those political positions where that law is going to get overturned. And then, it's just one of the many things that we have to, for instance, Kevin Fry, he wrote in, disruption in our industry is an opportunity for those who lead. Very well done, Christy. So thank you so much for that. Okay. Oh, very interesting comment came in from Jim Flint. Jim Flint is, of course, no stranger to this show. He's been on here a couple times. Very nice to see your name on my screen, Jim. So glad you could make it. Jim wrote in, what's the most disruptive to dealer franchise model in your opinion, Christy? Do you think it's Google with driverless cars? Do you think it's Apple with an electric car? Or do you think it's Tesla? Or does it even matter?
I happen to think Amazon is the one that has the real fighting chance to disrupt the most. I mean, all of that stuff, yes, it's disruptive, but someone still has to sell that. But again, Amazon, with their firepower, can figure out how to bypass the franchise system in delivering cars directly to customers. That's where I think the real danger lies. I don't know how fast it'll be. When you look at the franchise laws and how much money protects them, the lobbying and all that stuff, I mean, there's a lot of money behind those laws. However, with that being said, again, we have to think about consumers and consumer-based trends, and the fact that I say this, when you look at all the manufacturing factories that used to be in this country, even 40 or 50 years ago, they are all gone. Our entire economy has shifted as a result of the fact that companies countries like China have basically usurped our ability to manufacture in our own country. It's all price driven. So the one thing I think is, if Amazon figures out how to get around the dealerships, I think that's going to be a real problem.
I don't think that they would stop from doing it. You know what I mean? I think they absolutely would do it if they could figure out how to do it. I think you're right.
Yeah, there's nothing to stop them. They have a lot of money to figure it out.
They have the distribution. It's funny because Jim wrote back in and he says, I love Christy. She's not going with any of these choices. That's right. Now this is funny because Christy, when you and I first discussed this topic, I think it was just a few days after Toys R Us had announced that they were going to be filing for bankruptcy. And you yourself said, this is because of Amazon. And I said, what? You said, because Toys R Us had hired Amazon to do all of their fulfillment. And so when people saw that they could get the same toys without having to drag their kids to the store, without having to wait in line, without having to spend any gas to drive there or find a parking spot, without having to bring their kids in there and argue with them, no, you can only get one toy, not 12, and they could just order it online, okay, now that makes sense. So
This is something ironic that I learned when I was preparing for this, is that Amazon breached the contract they had with Toys R Us because Toys R Us took too long to fulfill a lot of the orders. So Amazon sort of went around them, and Toys R Us sued them for breach of contract and won a $51 million lawsuit. This isn't even that long ago. So that's just ironic, I think. And still, it's 2017, and now they're going to start their own e-commerce platform. It's going to be tough for them. It's going to be really, really tough.
Well, I mean, I would hate to see them close, but hindsight is 2020, isn't it? Okay, let's get to some more of these questions. For instance, Dan, he wrote in, I think I told you before, Facebook is a sleeping giant in the car sales world. And Dan, before I ask Christy if she has any comments on Facebook, I want to let you know that I actually have Philip Rather, who is the top guy at Facebook on the automotive vertical. He's actually going to be on this show second week of December. So we're going to find out not necessarily how to use their platform like Gabrielle Garrison usually does for us. Instead, he's going to talk about where Facebook is heading and how Facebook plans to help dealers in the future. So it's really going to be more about those kinds of things. But I am interested to hear, Christy, do you have any opinion on the stance that Facebook has taken in the automotive vertical? I mean, I don't think they've gotten to the point where they're like, hey, you can buy a car through Facebook, you know, but what do you think is happening with Facebook as well as all social media?
Well, I think Facebook is an awesome marketing tool. I just love it. I can tell you, out of all of the media that I've been exposed to, I've bought more stuff off of Facebook than anything.
Really?
The ability to target based on your behavior, yes. I mean, it's, every time I look, they're really good at figuring out the type of people. Well, I mean, we give them all the information on our profile, so then they put an ad in front of you. It's an excellent medium for dealers to use, particularly if you have a pretty robust fan base. You can put cards out there and communicate directly with your customers. So as a sales tool, I think it has a lot of promise. I don't really see them getting into automotive in the way that Google and Amazon are, where they're going to be selling cars to people or going around dealers. I don't really see that from them. And when I was at cars.com, I guess it was a couple weeks ago,
right,
and we were talking about the future of the industry, you know, one thing I can say is there's a lot of vendors who are really trying to help dealers navigate this, and cars.com is one of them, trying to figure out, you know, what can we do to support, how do we grow service, what kinds of things can we provide to dealers to help them with what's inevitably going to be a great deal of change. And so that, the one thing we can all agree on is there's going to be a change. And how fast it is, you know, I can't really say.
And how
but
severe.
I think we need to
how much it's going to impact.
We have to
right. Okay. Well, just so you know, Kevin Fry, he wrote back in, he said, Facebook is the number one most visited mobile site. Where better to market, especially when you can target in-market shoppers. Very, very good point, Kevin. Now, I do want to get back to Dan, who wrote in, oh, guess what, ladies? They just started selling cars. Their Facebook marketplace now sells used cars. It's only one word apart from new. Individual sellers and used cars is going to lead eventually to dealers selling new cars. It's not that much of a big tech change. So that came in from Dan. Wow. I think I might need to go change my pants now. All right.
Well, it's a classified site, though. I mean, so it's like, you know, you can buy a car from people on AutoTrader and Cars.com. So it's still focusing on the, in my mind, it's still a classified site, not, it's not really making the attempt to, the way that Amazon with Hyundai, to sell direct to consumers.
Okay, I hear you. Okay, Dan, thank you so much. Oh, and Dan says with way more volume. Point taken. Okay, let's get to a couple more of these questions. This one also came in from Dan. He actually sent this in very, very early, but I wanted to wait to the right moment to ask this question. So he is from a multi-generation dealer group. He is third generation, and the way he thinks about and uses technology is totally different from how his grandfather or even his father see the car retail world. The way we sell cars today is not much different from how we sold cars in 1968. How do I break through to my other family members and show them and move them towards action when it comes to reinventing our business model and embracing online, shifting away from traditional advertising, moving from volume-focused sales to customer service-centered programs? So, Christy, what advice can you give to people who are running into that generational wall where they just cannot get people to say, hey, stop wasting your money on full page ads in the newspaper and start putting it where you can get more bang for your buck? How do you, what words of advice could you give to somebody like that?
Well, I mean, if it makes you feel any better, I don't think it's just a generational thing, you know, as a kid or of a dealer. It's an industry-wide problem. Very few dealers want to address the fact that even the advertising market has changed. The way we get our ads has changed. One thing I would suggest, maybe you could do a focus group, like a survey. We've done this before where you put together, ask questions like, what websites did you go on before you ended up at our dealership, so that you can show them with your own customer base what percentage is going online before they walk into a dealership. I have found that to be an extremely valuable way of proving what you think, not just saying it, but actually going out and soliciting information from your own customers. The other thing we've done before, too, and you can do these things. You don't need to hire a company. You can do a focus group. Bring in a section of your customer base from mm-hmm. service and from sales and talk to them about how they buy cars and their experiences, and then run ideas past them. You know, is something like a fast lane that I put on my website that, people can certainly fill it out at home, but maybe they can do it also in the store. We can expedite the process. Talking to these people and trying to figure out what can actually fix the pain points would also be something that's extremely valuable. Again, from your own customer base. You're not taking feedback. You're actually getting feedback from your own customers.
So Dan was commenting the entire time you were answering. He says, we don't sell from third-party sites. We're in Detroit as well. Incentives don't align with our profit centers. He has a new theory, but he'd like to connect with you offline. He says that his father and grandfather, they don't really care about technology. They don't want to see what they have spent 50 years plus building fall apart either. I guess they're just very, tunnel vision. And his next attempt is to speak to legacy and not laggard. Dan, you are. Yeah, Dan, if you think you're the only one going through this, I'm here to tell you you're not. But thank you so much for bringing it to our attention today. And we really wish you the very best. I loved Christy's ideas. Maybe if you did do a focus group right there at the dealership, that maybe then they would see, well, that's not what customers really want after all. They really want this. They want convenience. They want service. They want all the other things that you're denying them that other dealerships are giving them. And quite honestly, consumers don't care if you've been in business 50-plus years. They just want what they want, and they don't want to pay a lot of money for it. They want to get the best price possible. They want to be in, they want to be out, and they want to be driving their new car happily, not having to even think about, sitting in a dealership for 6 hours to do it. So, yes. Dan, thank you so much for bringing that to us. We really appreciate it. Okay, a couple more comments, and then we'll close out this show, all right? Let's see. Devon wrote in. He says, I used to work in investments back in the day. This disruption on the horizon reminds me of the disruption that online discount trading did to stockbrokers and dealers a few years back. Thank you for that insight, Devon. I wonder what happened to those stockbrokers and dealers. Okay, he says, it's a parallel to Netflix and Blockbuster. GM execs saying Elon Musk is full of BS, but they're not helping steer the dealer networks in another direction either. Very well said. Okay, Richard says, there seems to be a war going on with the entire online giants, Google and Amazon, for their smart home speakers. What do you say or think about both of them spending millions on traditional marketing TV rather than selling them online only or social media? I don't know what that has to do with auto, but let's see. Let's just play this one out. Richard wants to know.
I know who that is because I think I fight with him at least once a week, Richard. I can't believe you sent in a question to me. You could just ask me. Okay. But you know what? Actually, I'm going to take that and say that those are the types of things that if there are apps that you pay money for, which with Amazon you do, you pay money. If you were to sell something like that at a dealership and make a dollar out of the $5 or $10 that they're charging for those apps, I mean, I really think there's a lot of opportunity to shift revenue to residual income assets like that. But to answer your question, obviously traditional advertising still works. We all know that. We obviously know that if we can say all we want that, we're family-owned and operated, we've been here 50 years, but ultimately what makes the consumer decide to come buy from you is the perception that they're going to get a good deal. And that's why there's a proliferation of car dealer ad agencies out there trying to make that case for individual stores. But when it comes to local advertising, when you think about the way consumers are getting their ads and how fragmented the media market is, one of the things I've always said is, when I started 20-some years ago, you had a newspaper, you maybe had, you had broadcast stations, you had radio stations, and then within 10 years, every single one of them now had a website that they had to monetize. You doubled the amount of media in your market. And then, on top of that, because they all want to monetize that, they take money from what actually works and put it on their website, which I don't believe does work, especially in automotive, And they'll tell you, no, no, we're throwing it in, but I guarantee if you look at your bill, they're going to take some of that money that should be going to the core media, and they're going to stick it in digital, which doesn't work on a dealer, in my view, a radio or a TV station website. So when you look at the fragmentation of media and the fact that young people are not watching TV or listening to the radio the way that we did 20 years ago, the reality is you just got to go where the eyeballs are. I always say, advertising really hasn't changed. It's just the way we get our ads that has changed. It's the same hooks that work in traditional work in digital, too. It's just a different method of getting the message across to the consumer.
Agreed. Okay, and Kevin wrote in, traditional marketing only works if it is seen. So more and more shoppers aren't there. You got to place your advertising where they're going to see it. Got to get eyeballs on it. Thank you so much, Chrissy. Okay, last question comes in from Kim. Kim says, can you give a couple of examples of dealers that you feel are innovating the sales process today, especially do you know any dealers, for instance, who are doing home delivery of vehicles? Do you know anyone like that, Chrissy?
Well, I mean, I think Hyundai of St. Augustine was a dealer who's been doing that for a long time. Mm-hmm. There's a number of dealers that have started to implement things like that, and it's sort of one of those things where you say it, but it doesn't necessarily mean everybody's going to jump on board. I think everybody should be doing home and office test drives. I think they should be offering that the consumer can complete as much of the paperwork online and the car comes to them, just because I've said it, you know, if you're stuck in finance for a couple hours, give them a gift card to go have lunch or dinner while they wait. I mean, there's all kinds of things that could be done to try to take away some of the pain points. Specifically, I like that AutoNation has implemented a training program that they are in the process of putting across their company, where they are teaching people what their job is. They're making sure the day that you start your job that you have uniforms and you have business cards. It's not something that you're going to take a month to get. It's something you start day one with. They're, like I said, experimenting with the comp plans and the different and 4-day work weeks and trying to figure out an equation that appeals to young people and to women. Mm-hmm. I always say, you know, life balance, work-life balance is so important to the quality of somebody's life, and that person is dealing with your customers. So the more you can have a positive impact on their ability to do their job and have their life, the better off you're going to be with customer satisfaction. The more you educate your people, the better off you're going to be with not only employee but customer satisfaction. The another dealer, Tom White, I referenced Subaru of Wichita. He used to be the number one Suzuki store in the country, and he was delivering cars all over the country, not just in where he is. But that's the guy that has the fun showroom. That's the one that you go in and there's couches and games. And, you know, I really don't understand why there has to be inventory in the showroom when it's all in the – you're going to go see – you're not going to drive that car out. You're going to go outside and see what they have. So why not shake the whole thing up and just make it so much more fun and social? Just there's so many things that could happen in that and to try to change the way people feel when they go into a dealership. It's always quiet, you know, unless you have like balloons and stuff and gorillas. I love gorillas.
I knew a dealer years ago. He spent more every month on balloons than he did on his own digital presence online. So, and he didn't think it was that important to have a website that worked, and he spent a lot of money on balloons. So I hope that worked out for that guy. Okay. Dan also wrote in, Kim, for you. He said Paragon Honda in Queens, they even pick up cars to service overnight and then deliver them before the customers go to work in the morning. Wow, I didn't even know that. That's
well. Here's pretty another. There's thinking. Another. If you think about it, you could. There's probably near almost every dealership. There's a big hospital or a school or maybe the military. If you just go to those companies and say you will provide service for them, you can have. There are companies that have service riders like at a hospital or at a big industrial government complex. The service rider takes the car in the morning, takes it over to fix it, brings it back at the end of the day. So there's a lot of innovations around how you get your service. The other thing is there was a dealership that opened up a kiosk. It was actually a store in a mall. There was no inventory. They just had screens and they had people in there with iPads showing what they had. And if somebody wanted to do a test drive, they bring the car to the mall for the customer to take the test drive. So there's a lot of different ways to think about expanding the reach that you currently have. Your footprint is not just tied to that store. It's tied to what you provide, which is transportation. Think about trains. Trains are transportation.
Right.
And they miss the boat too, because it's definitely not the way that most people travel, because it's antiquated and it takes forever. But if you think about the fact that what you guys are providing is transportation for people to get from A to B, there are multiple ways that you can do that, not necessarily tied to your location.
And with that, the Queen of Auto, this webinar goddess thanks the Queen of Auto. Thank you very much. I love that you were here.
If anybody knew how I got that nickname, it's hilarious.
You know what? When I see you in Palm Springs, you'll tell me, I'm sure. All right, audience, you know what, Chrissy, if you wouldn't mind, we should have been on the slide with your picture on it this whole time so people could see how they could get a hold of you afterwards. Can you go forward a couple slides if you wouldn't mind? So listen, audience, as you can tell, the Queen of Auto is not only wicked smart, but she is filled with sass and verve, and she will give it to you 100% straight up. So if you want to continue the conversation with Chrissy, email her or call her. As you can tell, she is one of the coolest dames in the game. So don't worry, she won't bite your head off, but she will maybe talk your ear off. All right, so Chrissy Roman, thank you so much. I'm so looking forward to seeing you at the next Women in Automotive Conference. I want to remind the audience, if you are looking for a link to download this copy of this webinar recording, well, guess what? You're in luck. We're going to email it to you later today. You can also go to dealeron.com/webinars within 24 hours. It will be posted there as well. And from there, you can also access any of our past webinars or, view and register for any of our upcoming webinars as well. Also, this webinar is going to conclude in just another minute. And when it does, you're going to get a very short survey. It's literally three questions. Now, I love today's broadcast, but we want to know what you thought of today's presentation. So please answer those three survey questions. It really helps us out. Okay, I want to let you know, Chrissy is going to be presenting at the upcoming Women in Automotive Conference. That's right. Amazing event, December 10th and the 11th in Palm Springs, California. If you could move the slides a couple more forward, if you wouldn't mind, Chrissy. Thank you. It's going to be focused on training and retaining women in our industry and improving skills, advancing careers, and finding the highest levels of success. And I got to tell you, I got a sneak peek at the roster of speakers. Holy moly. We got some big heavy hitters. Woo! Like no different from our previous years, too, by the way. Speakers that you just won't see anyplace else. Let me just tell you that, all right? To find out more about Women in Automotive Conference, please visit womeninautomotive.com. We hope to see you there. And, this is another good one. Invitations are going to be going out tomorrow for our next Dealer On webinar, another first for the Dealer On webinar series. We finally got her on the show. How to sell, market, and advertise to women. Hey, you want to hear some pretty impressive facts? Women influence 85% of overall buying decisions in North American households and spend over $200 billion on new cars and mechanical servicing on vehicles every year. Women also purchase 65% of new vehicles and request 65% of service work done at dealerships. So, if women are the primary financial decision makers, then why aren't car dealers advertising to them? That's right. Does your dealership gear their marketing and sales process towards female buyers? If you're like the vast majority of dealerships, then the answer is definitely no. To school us all on how to sell, market, and advertise to women, we called in the big guns. Jody DeVere is the undisputed expert on this subject. She's going to share much-needed insight and know-how on how dealerships can be more relevant to women car buyers and how that translates into much larger profits for your business. In this essential one-hour webinar, Jody will discuss how to understand and leverage the demographic of women in your local market, how to differentiate your dealership with relevant social media campaigns aimed at women, and how to find out the number one most important rule when communicating effectively with women. It's time you started advertising to the people who quite literally hold the purse strings. If you are serious about learning how to sell, market, and advertise to women, then this is a game changer of a presentation that you just simply can't afford to miss. So register now. Don't forget, Dealer Owns weekly webinars are held Thursdays, 12 noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, and 9 a.m. Pacific. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions regarding the Dealer On webinar series and our topics, well, heck, I'd love to hear from you. Again, my name is Eliana Raggio, and I'm everywhere. I'm on Facebook, Google+, I'm on Twitter, I'm on all the automotive social networks. You can find me everywhere, or you know what? You can just email me directly at eliana@dealeron.com. Thank you all so very much for spending this time with us today, and I hope to see you all in another webinar in our continuing education series. Take care, everyone.